Today is the 22nd day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Grateful to be here with you for another day, another step forward on the grand journey that we are on, well underway in the book that we know of as the Bible, which is a book of books. The book that we are in right now is a sobering one that takes us into some deep territory of the heart and suffering, physically and emotionally, as human beings do, and wrestling with how to gain meaning from it. So we're in the book of Job, and we began that yesterday and did quite a bit of talking about it. But let's take the next step forward in it. Today, Job chapters 4 through 7. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered, "If someone should attempt a word with you, will you be impatient? But who can refrain from speaking? Look, you have instructed many. You have strengthened feeble hands. Your words have supported those who stumbled, and you have strengthened the knees that gave way. But now the same thing comes to you, and you are discouraged. It strikes you and you are terrified. Is not your piety your confidence, and your blameless ways your hope? Call to mind now, who, being innocent, ever perished? And where were upright people ever destroyed? Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble reap the same. By the breath of God they perish, and by the blast of his anger they are consumed. There is the roaring of the lion and the growling of the young lion, but the teeth of the young lions are broken. The mighty lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered." Now, a word was stealthily brought to me, and my ear caught a whisper of it. In the troubling thoughts of the dreams in the night, when a deep sleep falls on men, dread gripped me, and trembling, which made all my bones shake. Then a breath of air passes by my face. It makes the hair of my flesh stand up. It stands still, but I cannot recognize its appearance. An image is before my eyes, and I hear a murmuring voice. Is a mortal man righteous before God? Or a man pure before his Creator? If God puts no trust in his servants and attributes folly to his angels, how much more to those who live in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed like a moth? They are destroyed between morning and evening. They perish forever without anyone regarding it. Is not their excess wealth taken away from them? They die, yet without attaining wisdom. Call now. Is there anyone who will answer you? To which of the holy ones will you turn? For wrath kills the foolish person, and anger slays the silly one. I myself have seen the fool taking root, but suddenly I cursed his place of residence. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed at the place where judgment is rendered. Nor is there anyone to deliver them. The hungry eat up his harvest and take it even from behind the thorns, and the thirsty pant for their wealth. For evil does not come up from the dust, nor does trouble spring up from the ground. But people are born to trouble, as surely as the sparks fly upward. But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would set forth my case. He does great and unsearchable things, marvelous things without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields. He sets the lowly on high, that those who mourn are raised to safety. He frustrates the plans of the crafty so that their hands cannot accomplish what they planned. He catches the wise in their own craftiness. The counsel of the cunning is brought to a quick end. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope about in the noontime as if it were night. So he saves from the sword that comes from their mouth, even the poor from the hand of the powerful. Thus the poor have hope, and iniquity shuts its mouth. Therefore blessed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he also bandages. He strikes, but his hands also heal. He will deliver you from six calamities. Yes, in seven, no evil will touch you. In time of famine, he will redeem you from death, and in time of war, from the power of the sword. You will be protected from malicious gossip and will not be afraid of the destruction when it comes. You will laugh at destruction and famine and need not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you will have a pact with the stones of the field, and the wild animals will be at peace with you. And you will know that your home will be secure. And when you inspect your domains, you will not be missing anything. You will also know that your children will be numerous and your descendants like the grass of the earth. You will come to your grave in a full age, as stacks of grain are harvested in their season. Look, we have investigated this, so it is true. Hear it and apply it for your own good. Then Job responded, "Oh, if only my grief could be weighed, and my misfortune laid on the scales too. But because it is heavier than the sand of the sea, that is why my words have been wild. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks their poison. God's sudden terrors are arrayed against me. Does the wild donkey bray when it is near grass? Or does the ox bellow over its fodder? Can food that is tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? I have refused to touch such things. They are like loathsome food to me. Oh, that my request would be realized, and that God would grant me what I long for, and that God would be willing to crush me, that he would let loose his hand and kill me. Then I would yet have my comfort. Then I would rejoice in spite of pitiless pain. For I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should wait? And what is my end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength like that of stones? Or is my flesh made of bronze? Is not my power to help myself nothing? And has not every resource been driven from me? To the one in despair, kindness should come from his friend, even if he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. My brothers have been as treacherous as a seasonal stream, and as the riverbeds of the intermittent streams that flow away. They are dark because of ice. Snow is piled up over them. When they are scorched, they dry up. When it is hot, they vanish from their place. Caravans turn aside from their routes. They go into the wasteland and perish. The caravans of Tima looked intently for these streams. The traveling merchants of Sheba hoped for them. They were distressed because each one had been so confident. They arrived there, but were disappointed. For now you have become like these streams that are no help. You see a terror and are afraid. Have I ever said, give me something, and from your fortune make gifts in my favor? Or deliver me from the enemy's power, and from the hand of tyrants ransom me? Teach me, and I, for my part, will be silent. Explain to me how I have been mistaken. How painful are honest words. But what does your reproof prove? Do you intend to criticize mere words and treat the words of a despairing man as wind? Yes, you would gamble for the fatherless and auction off your friend. Now then, be good enough to look at me, and I will not lie to your face. Relent. Let there be no falsehood. Reconsider, for my righteousness is intact. Is there any falsehood on my lips? Can my mouth not discern evil things? Does not humanity have hard service on earth? Are not their days also like the days of a hired man? Like a servant longing for the evening shadow, and like a hired man looking for his wages, thus I have been made to inherit months of futility, and nights of sorrow have been appointed to me. If I lie down, I say, when will I arise? And the night stretches on, and I toss and turn restlessly until the day dawns. My body is clothed with worms and dirty scabs. My skin is broken and festering. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is but a breath, that my eyes will never again see happiness. The eye of him who sees me now will see me no more. Your eyes will look for me, but I will be gone. As a cloud is dispersed and then disappears, so the one who goes down to the grave does not come up again. He returns no more to his house, nor does his place of residence know him anymore. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I the sea or the creature of the deep that you must put me under guard? If I say my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that I would prefer strangling and death more than life. I loathe it. I do not want to live forever. Leave me alone, for my days are a vapor. What is mankind that you make so much of them, and that you pay attention to them, and that you visit them every morning and try them every moment? Will you never look away from me? Will you not let me alone long enough to swallow my spittle? If I have sinned, what have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target? Have I become a burden to you? And why do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I will lie down in the dust, and you will seek me diligently, but I will be gone. First Corinthians 14, 18 through 40. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I want to speak 5 words with my mind to instruct others, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, do not be children in your thinking. Instead, be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. It is written in the law, by people with strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, yet not even in this way will they listen to me, says the Lord. So then, tongues are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and unbelievers or uninformed people enter, will they not say that you have lost your minds? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or uninformed person enters, he will be convicted by all. He will be called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and in this way he will fall down with his face to the ground and worship God, declaring, God is really among you. What should you do then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each one has a song, has a lesson, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all these things be done for the strengthening of the church. If someone speaks in a tongue, it should be 2 or at the most 3, one after the other, and someone must interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he should be silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. 2 or 3 prophets should speak, and the others should evaluate what is said. And if someone sitting down receives a revelation, the person who is speaking should conclude. For you can all prophesy one after another, so all can learn and be encouraged. Indeed, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not characterized by disorder, but by peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. Rather, let them be in submission, as in fact the law says. If they want to find out about something, they should ask their husbands at home, because it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. Did the word of God begin with you, or did it come to you alone? If anyone considers himself a prophet or spiritual person, he should acknowledge that what I write to you is the Lord's command. If someone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So then, brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid anyone from speaking in tongues, and do everything in a decent and orderly manner. Psalm 37, 30 through 40. The godly speak wise words and promote justice. The law of their God controls their thinking. their feet do not slip. The wicked set an ambush for the godly and try to kill them. But the Lord does not surrender the godly or allow them to be condemned in a court of law. Rely on the Lord. Obey His commands, then He will permit you to possess the land. You will see the demise of the wicked. I have seen ruthless wicked people growing in influence like a green tree grows in its native soil. But then one passes by and suddenly they have disappeared. I looked for them, but they could not be found. Take note of the one who has integrity. Observe the upright, for the one who promotes peace has a future. Sinful rebels are totally destroyed. The wicked have no future. But the Lord delivers the godly. He protects them in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and delivers them, for they seek His protection. Proverbs 21:27. The wicked person's sacrifice is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intents? Okay, we had a lot to talk about yesterday as we launched into Job, but also kind of in the New Testament came to what's known as the love chapter. So we had a lot to talk about, but just kind of looking back at beginning Job, we watched tragedy, like unspeakable, unimaginable tragedy happen systematically. And Job's life was piece by piece dismantled. Right? Any one of those things that happened would be traumatic. But now in modern vernacular, we're talking about very complex PTSD happening to Job. Like, all of these things are hitting him at once. He is absolutely overwhelmed. His nervous system is absolutely overwhelmed. He describes these things, his torment in his sleep. He's constantly reliving these things. He cannot find a way out. He wants the comfort of death because life feels absolutely unbearable and unmanageable and unnavigatable. So one disaster after another, and Job cannot be recognized. He cannot recognize himself. He does not feel like himself, and he does not look like himself. It's hard. I mean, we have our stories of trauma. We have our stories of suffering. It's hard to imagine enduring something worse. Not that there's like a comparison for trauma, but Job really had it about as bad as it is possible. Even to the point that his own wife is telling him to curse God and die. That is low, right? I mean, that is. It just doesn't get too much worse than that. He's been betrayed and suffered loss on every level unimaginable. And so that makes the way that he responds riveting. It humbles me. I would aspire. I don't want any more trauma in my life. If I'm being frank, I don't want to experience another single trauma for the rest of my life to find myself in this position. But as I have experienced suffering, I have not been able to manage the posture of Job. It's inspiring, but it's just absolutely humbling. Job finds out everything that's happened, all these things are hitting him at once, one after the other after the other. And so he tears his robe, right? He's in absolute grief. He throws dust on his into the air and on his head. Like, this is a custom ancient for just being overwhelmed. Like, this is how you visually represent being emotionally overwhelmed to the point that you cannot cope. He does these things. He is overwhelmed, and then he falls to the ground, and we can understand that. Maybe many of us have had these moments where awareness comes to us that is so traumatic and so direct and so deep that we lose our balance, fall to the ground. So we can understand this, all these things happening to Job, and he falls to the ground and worships God. Naked I came from my mother's womb, he says, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is profound. That is a posture that is profound when we consider suffering, grief, loss, anxiety, betrayal, trauma, emotional overwhelm. That is a riveting scene that should just be seared into our brains, because it's rare, and it's an important scene in the scriptures. Three of Job's closest friends find out what's happened, and so they meet up, and because they're from all over the place, so they meet up and travel together to be with Job in his grief. And when they see him, they do not recognize him, and they are overwhelmed themselves. And they come to him, and it's a beautiful ancient Hebrew practice that we observe. It's called Shiva, sitting Shiva. And they sat Shiva with Job for a week, because that's how long it took for him to be able to speak. And that's what Shiva is about. It's like a very different way of approaching grief and anguish and emotional suffering than maybe we in a more Western context can appreciate. Because when we're with somebody who's suffering, we do want to be there for them, but we sort of feel as if, like, even to alleviate our own anxiety about it, we start filling the room with words, and we need to say something, try to find the right combination of words, sentences that might comfort, might make them feel better, but also might make ourselves feel better that we're being useful or doing something. Because to sit in the tension of emotional pain, yeah, we don't really know exactly what to do with that. Shiva is for that. You sit because you're not there to offer your words. You're not there to offer your insights. You're not there to offer anything but your presence. And man, that makes a difference when you're suffering. Somebody will just sit without any obligation to speak, without any obligation to listen, without anything, just presence, just offering presence, just a sense that you're not alone. I can't fix it. I don't know what to say, but I am here. I am a witness. I see. I see what you're going through. I see it. I'm attuned to it. I feel it with you. I'm here. Shiva is beautiful. And so that's what we see Job's friends doing for a week. And then today we get into some conversation, and because Job speaks and he pours out the anguish of his soul, and it's significant. It's a significant flurry of words of pain and anguish. And so Job's friend Eliphaz tries to do what we try to do, to bring comfort. And the way that he brings it is essentially to tell Job that the kind of things that we say. Job, things happen for a reason. And if you'll just trust God, the Lord will show up and restore you. So that sentiment sounds very familiar because that's what we say. But in the face of what we're talking about here, the kind of suffering and trauma that Job is experiencing, we can hear how flat it kind of falls. We're going to notice that throughout the entire book of Job. His friends are going to attempt to reason with Job, and they're going to start dealing with their own anxiety, and they will become increasingly agitated in their efforts because Job, he's looking for something that they cannot provide. He doesn't want human explanations. He doesn't want rationalization. He doesn't want the right combination of words. He doesn't want something that's human that will somehow allow him to trick his mind to smooth out the hard reality of what's happened to him. Job wants God. He wants God to personally explain exactly what he did wrong to receive the judgment he feels he is experiencing. And he says that today, the Almighty has struck me down with arrows and their poison infects my spirit. Wow. Wow. That is how emotional suffering works, right? Feels like we are shot through and poison. Oh, the poison in our nervous system is infecting us. So Job is like, don't I have the right to complain? So in the coming days, we'll experience a lot more of the conversation because that's the bulk of the book. But if we'll pay close attention, we're going to find ourselves looking in a mirror at both sides. We'll find ourselves in the position of Job's friends. We'll find ourselves in the position of Job. And we'll be able to identify with the suffering and confusion that Job is feeling because we'll be able to draw from our own experience. But then we'll also hear our own voices in the counsel that his friends give. And just the insecurity that starts to rise up in his friends while Job stays steadfast that he hasn't done anything wrong and he wants God to explain himself. And so the conversation will turn from comforts to debates to full-on arguments. And that will take us through the different aspects of our own suffering because we're looking for who is right. And so let's stay connected to the story of Job. And let's remember the prayer of Job when trauma has overwhelmed him. Naked, I came from my mother's womb. Naked, I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
May the day perish on which I was born.
Flesh